Hello, and welcome to Radio Prague's Saturday show. I'm Masha Walensky, and here's what will be coming up in today's program. In Czech history, a new book by British journalist Charles Lawrence exposes the Czech writer Jiří Mucha as an agent of the Communist Secret Police, who deeply and tragically affected Mr. Lawrence's family. And then we will take a look at how people with alternative diets, such as vegan, dine and cook in the Czech Republic, where pork and dumplings is still the staple dish. And now it's time to start things off with Czech history. As a child in the 1950s, British journalist Charles Lawrence lived briefly in Prague with his family. His father, a diplomat, was targeted by the Communist Secret Police. To get close to him, the police used Czech writer Jiří Mucha, a son of the famed Art Nouveau painter. 50 years later, Charles Lawrence revisits Prague in search of the truth. In his book, The Social Agent, A True Intrigue of Sex, Lies, and Heartbreak Behind the Iron Curtain, Charles Lawrence exposes Jiří Mucha as a man whose actions had very tragic consequences for his whole family. Jan Richter has more in this edition of Czech History.
Charles Lawrence was 7 years old when he arrived in Prague in November 1957 with his parents and a little sister. His father, a promising diplomat at the British Foreign Office, was posted to Communist Czechoslovakia after serving in Greece and Italy. Charles Lawrence, now a US-based journalist, still remembers the atmosphere of the city.
We thought of it as a mysterious and dangerous and spooky place from the get-go, because that's kids pick up the atmosphere. And the impression of the border guards and the whole thing with the passports. And at the same time, as I try and describe right away in the book, there was this confluence of the kind of comic books you're reading as a schoolboy in England or anywhere in the world in the 50s with sort of Nazis and, you know, Stalinist troops and these sort of background things you pick up in a weird way. And there it is in front of you. There's this guy with jack boots.
In Prague, Charles' parents became regulars at various functions held by members of the decimated high society, which, however, still existed despite nearly a decade of communist rule. One of the stars of the elite circles of Prague was certainly Jiří Mucha, the son of the famed Czech Art Nouveau painter Alfons Mucha, a man who had travelled the world and a former war reporter for the BBC. He also spent 4 years in a communist prison, from which he was released 2 years before the Lawrence's arrival.
My father liked him as a man. I think I quote him in the book as saying he was an interesting and likeable chap in some ways, and very entertaining. And he also made a big impression on me, partly because it was an unhappy family, that in an odd way, I grew up at a time when I didn't want to be the kind of English person I was born to be. And he was almost a role model. I became a journalist. That persona of the world traveller with his cigarette and his anecdote and his kind of his cool made a pretty profound impression on a kid who maybe met him half a dozen times, but then his shadow kind of fell over the family.
After the fall of communism and after Jiří Mucha's death, it became clear that the worldly man who often hosted the Lawrences at his summer retreat had a dark side to him. He was recruited by Czechoslovakia's secret police, the STB, shortly after his release from prison. Taking advantage of his connections and excellent social skills, the secret police used Jiří Mucha as a social agent. His role was to seduce the wives of Western diplomats, which made it possible for the STB to blackmail them.
What you remember from a child is vague things, shadowy things, impressions. Then some specific moments, which can also, as I think everybody knows, can be distorted in memories, but normally contain a kernel of truth. The information, the simple information that Jiří Mucha had an affair with my mother was not at issue. That was known. The consequences of that were much more interesting, and whether he himself, what his role was an issue that I grew up with. It was an issue.
Charles's father informed his superiors at the Foreign Office of the affair, which his son says effectively brought his diplomatic career to a stall.
The consequences to my family were grievous because of the affair. Of my understanding of it, the British security forces were extremely interested and alarmed by what had happened. And essentially, my father's career was sidelined. My dad was basically a very successful man in the 50s when he was here, and up until that point, he was considered a kind of star of the diplomatic service. He could have, like Christopher Malaby, who comes into the book later, he could have been the top diplomat. And his career flattened out. And my understanding now is that clearly MI5 were investigating the whole affair and what had happened and whether security had been breached. I now know, and this I had no idea of at the time, is at that time they were actually looking for the famous third man.
When Charles Lawrence returned to Prague to do research for his book, he discovered that as a secret agent, Jiří Mucha could have played a much higher game than that, a game that might have reached the top of the political establishment in the United Kingdom.
I had no idea that this was a man who'd seduced Pauline Grant, you know, choreographer who was the mistress of the British foreign minister. I mean, you couldn't have a bigger coup as a spy. I mean, this is a James Bond, cartoon James Bond, you know. So that sort of stuff took me completely by surprise. The deviousness was kind of what I expected. The other case, I mean, one other questions that I couldn't answer, sadly, one of them was he working for both sides at once? My assessment is that he was working for sides alternatively, as it suited him, because he just worked for himself. He was always about himself, and as I say in the book, he did whatever it took. Whatever it took was, by some people's moral compass, unacceptable, and by others, maybe acceptable. And also, he did this not just to survive, but also to maintain a lifestyle.
But the affair between Charles's mother and Jiří Mucha had a more dire consequence. During the family's stay in Prague, Charles's sister Kate started to suffer from anorexia, from which she never recovered, and died in an assisted living facility in England many years later. Her death made Charles look in what really happened in Prague and seek an answer to the question whether Jiří Mucha was also responsible for the devastating disease that killed Charles's sister.
It's one of those stories where it's very deep, and we all have this. There may be some people who don't, but probably most people have these great scars they carry, and they go on with life, and they do what they can. And then I don't think it's uncommon for them to resurface later. And I should imagine that was probably the trigger. And the other thing that changed is that I got to know my father much better as I got older. Although I was living in New York by then, we come over once a year, and I find I would have conversations with him that I hadn't had the opportunity to have as an adolescent or as a young man, and we kind of understood each other better. And little things, dynamics with my own family, is that, rather to my surprise, he was nice with my kids, having been a very remote father to his own. He welcomed and was affectionate towards my children in a way that I found very redemptive in him.
The Czech translation of Charles Lawrence's book, which came out last month, has received much publicity. Some people were shocked by the allegations. Others said Charles's account was one-sided and unfair to the writer. The Mucha family was angered when the book first came out in English, and in fact managed to stop its second edition from being published in the United States. Jiří Mucha's son, John, a childhood friend of Charles Lawrence, refused to comment on the account, which he called a cesspool. But Charles Lawrence says the family has a very dark past.
You know, I'm not surprised at their reaction, but as I say, I think to put it in context, this is a family with a truly dark past. It was pretty naive of me to think that they wouldn't screw me over as they screwed up everybody else. And Geraldine, as herself, is someone you can sort of almost, what's the word, admire? You know, she survived and had an extraordinary life. But again, at what cost? You know, it's and there are details. If anyone listening wants to go and spend a few months searching the files, there are details about the family and family relations that I have not put in the book.
That was Charles Lawrence speaking to Radio Prague's Jan Richter. If you would like to comment on this story, do write to us here at the station. Our email address is english@radio.cz, or you can send us a letter to Vinohradska 12, postcode 12099, Prague 2. You can also leave us a comment on the Radio Prague Facebook page. And now in Czech life, we turn to alternative diets. When you think of Czech cuisine, the first thing that comes to mind is pork, sausages, and other meat dishes, such as the beef roast svíčková, which some would say is the country's national dish. Certainly, the country is not known for its vegetarian and vegan fare. So how difficult is it to live on a meatless diet in the Czech Republic? And how is the country's attitude to food in general changing? In this edition of Czech Life, Sarah Berufka looks at alternative forms of nutrition.
Welcome to Porkopolis, Pork City, the land that vegetables forgot.
The land that vegetables forgot, as famed chef Anthony Bourdain puts it in the Prague episode of No Reservations, is certainly a label that most visitors to the Czech capital would agree with. Duck, pork, and beef roasts dominate the city's menus, and even though choices for vegetarians in Czech restaurants have become more plentiful, the country is still perceived as a carnivore's dream. So how do vegetarians and vegans live in a country where meat is such an important part of the cuisine? While there are no up-to-date numbers on how many vegetarians live in the Czech Republic, according to a STEM agency poll from 2003, some 1.5% of Czechs embrace a vegetarian lifestyle, compared to 8% in neighboring Germany. Vegans go a step further and, in addition to meat, also omit dairy, eggs, and other animal products from their diets, and substitute them, for example, with soy products.
You can smell it. It has like a cheesy flavor to it. So anytime you want something to taste cheesy, nutritional yeast is the way to go. Maybe it doesn't smell cheesy.
Martina Čermáková, a vegan who lives in Prague and is currently working on a vegan cookbook, shows me her pantry. I asked her to describe how she went from being a carnivore to becoming a vegan.
Certainly wasn't sudden. I come from a meat-eating family, and although we lived in Holland, I never actually heard of like a vegetarian diet, never mind vegan diet, until perhaps when I turned 17, 18, and then I was kind of experimenting with food, and I just had a hard time eating meat and dairy. It turns out that I have an allergy to cow's milk, so that kind of explains things. And so I was sort of vegetarian maybe starting 7, 8 years ago. And I guess it was when I met my former boyfriend, who has been a vegan for 20, maybe over 20 years. And I never really paid attention to it. I just started cooking his way because it made no difference. It made no sense to me to be cooking and preparing meals that, you know, he couldn't eat. And I never missed anything. And I didn't miss meat. I didn't miss dairy. I didn't miss eggs. So it was just very natural. And I didn't even think about it at the beginning. And I think gradually, as I became more aware, you know, living with a vegan and just cooking this way, of where my food comes from, how it makes me feel, what I'm eating, why I'm eating that way, it kind of became a more conscious decision. But that was only later on, maybe like 3 years back or so.
Martina's staples include soy milk, tofu, nutritional yeast, and other products that cater to the vegan crowd. Across the Czech Republic, such foods are becoming more easily available now than in the past, when they were practically impossible to find. But is it still more difficult to shop for vegan ingredients here than in other European countries?
The basis of what you need, you know, basic grains, legumes, vegetables, you can get them anywhere and they're cheap. I think in most supermarkets these days, I think that has changed maybe over the past 2 or 3 years, you can get basic vegan products like tofu, various soy products like soy milk, these farm meats, of course soy meat, which has always been around. I remember eating that as a kid. And I think also over the past few years, more and more of those health stores have opened up, and they have just a really good selection of vegan products, from, you know, fake meat sausages to, I think last year, since last year, there's also been vegan ice cream on the market, which I've missed. So I wouldn't say it's so difficult, but also I'm judging because I live in Prague. And I think if you go to smaller towns, you won't probably be able to get lots of these specialized vegan products. Maybe not even tofu.
Not just vegans enjoy the fact that health food stores have mushroomed across the country. Anyone who shops with an eye to health consciousness or who is concerned about the origins of their foods has welcomed the arrival of more choice on this segment of the grocery market. In 2010, the sales of fair trade products here in the Czech Republic increased substantially. Tomáš Bílý is the head of the Czech Fair Trade Association, and he expects this trend to continue.
Personally, me, I await nice development in the following years, because if we consider that fair trade in bigger numbers started in 2004-2005 here in the Czech Republic, that means first of all the food products, then the growth of the figures of turnovers and so on was very fast on the beginning, of course, because there was no market, and then the first imports are here, so the growth was very big. Then it slowed down a bit two or three, four years ago. And in the last year, that means 2010, there was a growth again of 60%. That means it was really a big growth of the fair trade market here in the Czech Republic. It was because there are many campaigns on fair trade, of course. But I think that the main thing is that supermarket chains started to sell fair trade products in their stores. That means the fair trade market is changing here in the Czech Republic, and it's changing towards the normal stores, supermarkets, and these possibilities where to buy fair trade products, not only the workshops.
Vegans and vegetarians are among those who pay attention to whether or not their coffee or chocolate or other products come from fair trade, says Mr. Bealey. They often are already used to reading the labels and shopping at stores that carry such products as well.
These consumer groups already, they have to look what they are buying, because they have some specialties in their diets and so on. That means these people are more likely to think what they are buying and to think what about about their products and where they are coming from and so on. That means, of course, they are more likely to buy also fair trade products because of their origin, for example.
While cooking vegan meals at home is becoming increasingly easier as more and more supermarket chains carry the necessary products, Prague's restaurant scene is not exactly dominated by vegetarian and health restaurants. I asked Martina if she finds it hard to dine out.
I guess as a vegan, you can pretty much go to any restaurant. You're probably going to have to eat a side dish, like potatoes or fries with a salad, perhaps, like a cabbage salad. If you want something fancier than that, I mean, in Prague, you have 2 vegan restaurants and 3 vegetarian ones that also cater to vegans. So there's plenty of choice. But on the other hand, you know, it is only 5 restaurants. So eventually, if you live here for a couple of years, you'll probably get a little bored with the meals and the selection.
And do you have friends that kind of have the same lifestyle, nutrition, and do you cook together or something like that? Or is that not really something that determines your social life so much?
Cooking vegan probably does not determine my social life at all. Because I don't actually have... I have 2 vegan friends, but we don't actually cook together. We do go out for vegan cake. I don't think it's that important for me to have people who necessarily share the same lifestyle. It's definitely great to be able to talk to people that have the same values. But I found overall the people that I hang out with, my friends, are very accommodating. You know, there will always be a vegan cake at the birthday party or a vegan burger at whatever other gathering.
While many cut out meat due to health reasons, being a vegetarian or vegan often also goes beyond a simple lifestyle choice. Many vegans cut out animal products from their diets because of ethical reasons, and Martina says that over time this has become an important reason for her as well.
Yes, I think that's a key a key issue for why I am vegan. I think, like as I mentioned before, first it wasn't a conscious choice, and the more I became aware of where my food comes from, the more it became an ethical issue for me. So at this point, the only reason why I am vegan is not for health concerns, but because I just simply don't want to contribute to what I think is needless suffering of animals.
Markina has some firm beliefs when it comes to animal rights, but she also endorses a fun-filled approach to veganism and is not dogmatic about it. A book with vegan recipes that she has compiled, among the first few in the Czech language, is currently pending publication.
This might be the first vegan cookbook that doesn't necessarily look at food or that doesn't emphasize the health aspects of meals, but more just focuses on how delicious they are. And yes, it's hopefully... It kind of started off maybe 4 years ago when a former colleague of mine suggested that it might be interesting because there are not many cookbooks of the kind on the market. And I think I really, maybe 2 years ago, probably 2 years ago when I got a part-time job, I finally had the time to do something that I enjoyed, which is cooking and then writing about it and taking photos of the foods. And okay, the whole idea of the cookbook is that, and I think that's what sets it apart from the ones that are currently on the market, is that it's kind of, I try to make it fun to read. So sort of a lighthearted, informal tone. It's not preachy, doesn't really preach about, you know, animal cruelty or the health aspects of veganism, although of course that's a giant part of it. And also I wanted to just make it very accessible, so the ingredients are local, they're cheap, well, affordable, you know, there's not necessarily that stress on it has to be organic. And also I try to make the meals easy to prepare.
Do you have a title yet, or is it a work in progress?
Currently, and I hope it doesn't change, unless the publisher really wants it to change, it's Veg Mňamky Nem Pro Veganky, which doesn't work as well when you translate it, but it's basically Veg Yummers or Vegan Yummers, not only for vegan chicks. Of course, it doesn't rhyme in English.
While pork continues to have a stronghold on Czech plates, the country is also embracing international nutrition trends, such as shopping for local produce at farmers' markets, buying organic and fair trade products, and preparing vegetarian and vegan meals. And with her book, chock full of delicious vegan recipes, due to hit shelves in January, Martina Chermáková is contributing to spread the appeal of vegetables in the land that vegetables forgot.
And that was Sarah Barufka's report that first aired in June of last year. That edition of Czech Life, unfortunately, brings us to the end of our Saturday program. You can always find all of our shows online and listen to them again at radio.cz/en. If you have any questions or comments about the program, just as a reminder, you can email us at english@radio.cz. That is all for today from us at Radio Prague. I'm Masha Walensky. Thank you very much for listening, and do tune in again soon. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.